You've already heard the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Also a pastor and a father of five. And Dave, also in studio with me, Dave, father of five. And we address the issues that matter most on this radio program. The issues that make and break societies. The issues that will make and break our families. Issues like education. I believe education is vitally important. Why? Because it effectively sets the ideas in the minds and the hearts of the children that will take up the next generation and the next and the next. Education forms life. Education forms society. So the form of education that you choose for your children is vitally important, my friends. Some people think education isn't all that important. They think it's sort of like gas, you know? I mean, you never talk about buying gas from a biblical worldview. I buy Shell gas because it's got a biblical worldview. You never say anything like that, do you? No, you just go out and buy gas. That's the way most people look at education. Doesn't matter what kind of curriculum you buy. It doesn't matter what kind of school you send your children to. It doesn't matter what kind of teachers you give your kids. It just doesn't matter. It's like gas. And these people on the air, on the Generations Radio broadcast from Christian Home Educators of Colorado that are emphasizing the importance of a biblical worldview and a distinctively Christian way of looking at all things is just weird. These guys are just blowing these things way out of proportion. Dave, what do you say to something like that? I mean, when people look at us and say, man, you guys make such a big deal out of education, you insist it. You got to give your children an education that's rooted in the fear of God. The fear of God ought to be shot through those literature classes, those geography classes, those science classes. They ought to be worshiping God in their education because God is the one behind it all. That's just nuts. These guys are crazy out of their minds.
Well, you know, we're called to be a holy nation, a peculiar people, which means separate, different. You know, it means weird. Weird's another word for holiness, how it might manifest itself amongst people.
So God calls us to be weird.
He calls us to be weird. And what's more is Jesus says that we are to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and what was that last thing? Oh, yeah,
our mind, intellect. That's right. So God wants us to engage a relationship with Him in all of our studies.
It means when we study something intellectually, we want to do it in a way that we're loving God. He is preeminent in our thoughts. It's sort of like the commandments of God dangling in front of our forehead, or maybe hanging on the fringes of our clothes. And we want to teach it to our children. I mean, not just during Sunday school. We want to do it maybe when they rise up in the morning. In fact, I want to do it when they lie down at night, and maybe even as we're going along the day, walking along the road, I want to teach them God's commandments. I know that's weird, but I think that's what the Bible teaches.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, there are actually two streams of thought within home education, within the ideas of education in America, that are really running side by side. One stream of thought says, hey, all ideas are basically equal. You give your children a little humanism, you give them a little materialism, you give them a little bit of existentialism, a little bit of Muslim thought, throw in a little Hindu thought, throw in a little Christian thought, and voila, you're there. And then you have the Christians who say, yeah, give them that, all these different things, and then you might post a little post-it note of a Jesusism right there on the material, just to sanctify it a little bit, but all ideas are effectively equal, and so you give your children all these ideas, and somehow they'll be able to function in life. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what we believe is that the beginning of knowledge and wisdom is the fear of God, and that it's vitally important that our children's minds, first of all, be framed in a biblical way of looking at truth, at ethics, at reality, at all of life. You got to give them a biblical worldview. They've got to have effectively biblical way of looking at things. And then you can give them the antithesis and have them and analyze the antithesis from the perspective of a biblical way of thinking. If you don't start with the fear of the triune God, if you don't start with the fear of the God of the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, you are giving your children an improper education. That's and I know, Dave, I think there are a lot of people out there that seem like we're kind of narrow-minded here. This is the narrow-minded form of education. And there are a lot of people who say, hey, we want you to chop the C off Christian Home Educators of Colorado. But if we did that, if we took C off of check, we'd wind up
sending our kids to heck.
Yes. Heck, yeah. I don't think we want heck.
We may be narrow-minded, but we're trying to pursue the narrow path. And it's that narrow path that Christ calls us to. It's not the wide gate. It's the narrow gate. It's the narrow road. It's straight and it's narrow. So, you know, being called narrow is not really an insult. In fact, we should take that as a pretty good statement that perhaps we're doing this correctly. Those who would want to give a whole myriad, a shotgun approach to education because all ideas are the same, I don't know that they realize how much they themselves have been influenced by existential philosophy. They're valuing the choice. The child will get this smorgasbord of ideas, and they'll choose what they want, and it's in the choice that the child then defines himself. We say, no, 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 no! No, it's not in the choice. The choice is not truth. Truth is truth. God is the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. We want to teach him what Jesus said because we believe that the purpose, the chief end of man, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, to worship God, to follow his commandments.
Folks, what we're saying is that all ideas are not of equal merit. And I know some people say all ideas are of equal merit. No, we actually think there are some fools out there who say there is no God. There are fools out there writing books, textbooks, curriculum, and they're atheists. They're naturalists, materialists. They don't believe in God as creator, as the source of their metaphysic, of their reality in creation and providence. They don't believe that. And so they, when they write their history books, their literature books, their geography books, their science books, they don't believe in God, and they're fools. We say that there are some foolish people out there, and they write textbooks. And we don't think that you ought to set your children at the foot of fools and have them listen to fools. Dave, I mean, you've got teachers who will teach through textbooks, teachers who will teach through lectures, and we are encouraging, as an organization here in Colorado called Christian Home Educators of Colorado, we're encouraging parents to find Christian teachers who believe that there is a God and write their literature and write their science textbooks and write their history textbooks from that way of thinking. And we think that our children ought to predominantly be sitting at the feet of Christians who have a Christian worldview and teach our children that God is the source of their ethics, their law, their truth, their origins, and their reality. We think we're actually Christians here, and we think that our children ought to receive a Christian education, a Christian paideia. As Paul says, bring your children up in the paideia of the Lord, of Yahweh, of the God of the Bible. And that's precisely the kind of education we recommend for parents all over Colorado, all over the country, all over the world. Don't give your children a pagan education. Don't give them an Islam way of looking at things. Don't give them a pluralistic way of looking at things by giving them the pantheon, by bringing all the gods into the pantheon and having them worship and learn at the feet of all of the religions. No, we don't believe that. We actually believe you ought to give your children a Christian worldview. Now, from time to time, especially as your children get older, they can learn a little bit more of the antithesis, and then they learn apologetics, and that's typically when they move into the critical stage, and then the rhetoric stage of life. There are only those who have the maturity to distinguish between good and evil to which you ought to subject them to some of these counter worldviews, and that is Hebrews chapter 5. It's only those that are beyond the milk of the word and now are on the meat of the word that can distinguish between what is good and what is evil. So let's be very careful with younger children not to subject them to counter worldviews until they're old enough to receive them.
Kevin, all ideas are not neutral. Ideas have consequences. All ideas are connected, but not all ideas are neutral. Either an idea is built on the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, or it's built on the wrong foundation. But ideas are connected. If you take God, say, out of your science class, and you're not worshiping God in science, and you think that the facts are neutral, and you're looking at it very, very shortly because God is not present in his creation, in his metaphysic, you might say, he will no longer exist in ethics. And if God doesn't exist in ethics, you have no basis whatsoever to say what is right and what is wrong. In fact, biology will tell you, if you study it without God, that it is the fittest that survives. In other words, the meanest and the nastiest, the guy who can get away with breaking the most of God's law, is the one that nature favors. Now we've destroyed ethics completely, and we've just said might makes right. God, on the other hand, if he's worshipped in creation, I'm sorry, science, it's really the same thing. As we study science, we're studying his creation. We've now taken those neutral facts, and we've made them facts from which we will glorify God, and it fits our purpose to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Two approaches, one leads to wisdom, the other leads to death.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, taking the minority position here on the radio broadcast, Generations. A lot of curriculum packages. Most public schools, most bookstores in America will bring you plenty of secular materials. Christian Home Educators of Colorado will not. We actually have abandoned the pluralistic way of looking at things, the humanistic way of looking at things, the naturalistic, materialistic way of looking at things. And we know that's the predominant worldview, and we know that people have been taught in those worldviews. But we're actually taking a hard right away from these worldviews and saying it's time to give our children a distinctively Christian education. And so we've gone out and tried to find Christians who are really trying hard to establish a Christian way of looking at things, a Christian worldview and curriculum. We're drawing them into our conference, and we service thousands upon thousands of homeschool parents in the state of Colorado through our conferences and seminars each year. And we hope that there are people out there searching for the most Christian form of curriculum, the most Christian form of education they can possibly find in a secularistic world that has destroyed the family, that has destroyed education, that has destroyed the economy and our politics because of the wrong worldview taught in all of these schools, public, private, even home schools in America over the last 200 years. We have seen a tremendous decline in education in America, and therefore, of course, a decline in the culture, a decline in the world and life view of the average person in America because they've been educated to think and act that way. Well, we are actually becoming, hopefully, a reforming organization, a reforming movement in America, saying it's time to bring a biblical worldview back into every subject where the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and our children respect and reverence and fear God and learn how to get down on their knees and worship him as they study their second grade science and their fourth grade literature and their sixth grade geography. Yes, we want them worshiping God and bowing the knee to God and fearing God and being humble in their education rather than becoming the proud, arrogant God haters that are being produced by our secular, classical, and humanistic education systems today. In a moment, I want to get back to the issue of science and creation, how to teach creation in our science classes. That's next on Generations. Stay with me. This is Kevin Swanson. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Welcome back to the Generations broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we talk about education, which is a vitally important subject. It will determine your children's future. It will determine where they're going to wind up in life and maybe even eternity. And Dave, that's why the goal of education is important. We got to begin with the goal. The goal being discipling our children for God, for God's glory, and hopefully for his kingdom, which means that our children are prepared more for heaven than Harvard.
Yes, and I think that's a better word is preparation. Education is such a secular word. What are we doing? We're preparing our children. We're training our children. Our children will follow their preparation, and they'll follow their training almost all the time into their lives, the rest of their life. So what are we doing? We're discipling our children. More than we're teaching them mathematics, we're discipling them, and we might use mathematics to do it.
And Dave, let's talk about evolution right now, because evolution was a huge juggernaut, I believe, to set this nation on a course towards all-out secular humanism, a naturalistic, materialistic way of looking at things. Huge changes across this nation from 1840 to 2000, over 160 years. Why? Because of Charles Darwin and his efforts to separate man from God. And what was the whole idea with naturalistic, godless evolution? Of course, the idea was to separate man from God by means of natural processes. The natural processes themselves gave us a temporary ontology, that is a theory of being or a theory of origins that negated God. And it was only temporary because at the end of it, we figured, hey, if we're just chance pieces of cosmic dust evolved in a universe of pure chance, then who cares what we're going to evolve into? It effectively led us to the postmodern age where all forms of relativism has taken place in truth and ethics and reality and everything. So, Dave, it was only a temporary crutch, but it got us away from God, and therefore I think evolution needs to be attacked.
Evolution needs to be attacked on a variety of fronts, but one of the things that happened prior to Darwin that allowed Darwinism to actually take root in our minds was an attack on epistemology. That is, what is truth? In a naturalistic worldview where we say science is the study, but God must be excluded in our study, and now we're going to use that godless form of study to say whether or not God exists. You follow me here? We say, okay, science, we can have no God in it. We can have no hand of God because that's not scientific. And then we say, now prove God. And we used that naturalistic mechanism, that horrible circle of thought, to try and take God out of the picture. And that set the table for Darwin. That made it so that Darwin's observations would be grabbed by a lot of people who wanted a naturalistic view to get rid of God.
Evolution was a way to exclude God. Exactly. That's exactly what you said, Dave. And I think it was the off-ramp towards deism and atheism. That's how you get to atheism. That's how you get to deism. That's how you get to the point where man no longer sees himself as accountable to a creator who will hold him ethically accountable for what he's doing. And then, of course, he's got to deal with Christ and his atonement and repent of his sins and come to Christ in confession of his sins and all so forth. And he doesn't want to do that, of course. Evolution, my friends, the off-ramp to deism and atheism in the history of this country. Therefore, we're attacking evolution. I think as we teach our children, that has got to be a major issue. As you flip through those textbooks, you need to ask yourself, is there any naturalistic, godless form of evolution here, talking about billions and billions of years, where God is not even mentioned in the book? If God's not mentioned in the books, I think for the most part, you ought to just throw the books away, generally speaking, especially for younger children. Now, as your children get older, as they get older, as they get into the critical stage, as they get beyond the milk to the meat and can distinguish between good and evil, Hebrews chapter 5, then yes, give them some of the antithesis. Show them the different views on evolution. Now, there are three forms of evolution. There's microevolution, that is the fact that there is some change within species, within kind. God created each creature after its kind. And so within kind, there is some kind of microevolution happening. We know there is. We can see it. And so you can teach that. But also teach that there are those Christians out there that believe in old earth evolution. And then teach them materialistic, godless evolution, where God is no longer a factor. Dave, within the Christian old earth evolution, you got different views of that as well. Some people thought that, you know, God created the world over a long period of time, over billions of years, and yet each time a species developed or showed up on the scene, God was there, and God miraculously and supernaturally created the species. Voila, at some point, you know, over, say, millions or even billions of years. So there are some people who teach that. There are some people who say God providentially ordained each natural process in the process. Of course, by the time you start to do this, then you've given up on the whole reason for evolution in the first place, which was what? To serve as an off-ramp to deism and atheism.
And Kevin, they always, if you want to have a theistic evolution, if that's where you want to kind of dig your heels in, you have a problem. You have death before Adam. If animals existed for millions of years and changed kind, they had to die off. And so we had a death before Adam ate the fruit. And that's a real problem. Now we got to allegorize the whole story of creation. Because that's just now an allegory, and now we're playing with the Word of God being true.
And before you know it, you're allegorizing everything else. I'm hearing people wanting to allegorize Jesus' resurrection, our own resurrection from the dead, and so forth and so on. Some people want to allegorize the entire Word of God. And at that point, of course, you're up the creek, and you know, you have no truth at that point. Of course, it appeals to postmodern man, but oh well, you pretty much lost your faith at that point. But as our children study these things, folks, I mean, there are some things that are going to become immediately obvious to them. The transitional forms are MIA, missing in action. I mean, you're not going to find transitional forms in the fossil record. I mean, to speak of, maybe one or two or three perceived transitional forms of some sort, but you're not going to find the billions and billions and billions of in transitional forms you would expect to see if a Darwinistic, naturalistic form of species development occurred over a long period of time. And you just don't see that. So that's going to be obvious. There's going to be something really obvious as your children study evolution. The emperor has no clothes in a lot of this stuff, and your children are going to notice that, and that's a good thing. They're also going to remember that nobody was really there, and there's nothing really to be observed or repeated in a laboratory. You can't do it. You can't observe it. You can't repeat it, so it's not really science. And much of the science turns out to be sophisticated guesswork on the part of people who really, really hope that it happened the way they think it really happened.
And yet that guesswork is silly at times. Because there's a lack of transitional forms, they come up with a theory called punctuated equilibrium. It's a neat word. You need to know it. It means that one day a chicken laid an egg, and out of the egg came a cow. It's silly stuff. It's silly stuff that says they used to say that evolution happened so slow you couldn't see it because it was happening such a slow process to billions of years. And then when they realized there was no transitional forms, their guesswork said, well, it happened so fast. You missed it. But it must have happened, regardless of evidence.
Yeah. All right. So as they study evolution, they're going to determine some of these things are obvious. There are a few things that are not obvious. The space and time issue is a complicated issue, a very complicated issue. And it brings into question the age of the universe and these sorts of things. But, you know, at the end of the day, Dave, I think as our children study science, they have to come to the conclusion that there are some things we are just not going to understand. I mean, we can guess, and we can, with various levels of dogmatism, and hopefully not a lot of dogmatism, we can say it might have happened like this or it might have happened like that. But hopefully, here's the goal of education. The goal of education is the fear of God and humility. According to Peter in 1 Peter 3:16 and 17, the goal is fear of God, reverence for God, and humility before men. And Dave, I think if at the end of the science class our children are not really, really humble, we have not achieved our goal. I believe that every time we give a lesson, whether it be in theology or science, a goal is humility. We want to get them to the top of the well of knowledge. When I say the well of knowledge, I mean, you know, as we learn things, we get to the very, very top of the well, of a well of knowledge, and we climb the 30, 40 feet up to the top of the well. We remove the cover, and they look out, and they see everything they don't know. See, that's the goal. That's the goal. They've learned a few things, and at the end of the class, they've made it to the top of the well of knowledge, and they discovered everything they don't know. And they are humiliated, humbled before God, and they worship the God who knows it all. That I think, is the goal. But, Dave, unfortunately, there's way too much intellectual pride going on in homeschooling today. I'm seeing it on the blogs. I'm seeing it from classical educators. I'm seeing it from home educators, from Christian home educators. They get a little knowledge. They learn a few things about philosophy. They learn a little Latin. They learn a little theology. And before you know it, they're just sort of proud about all of that. And they talk sarcastically and to people who disagree with them about this or that or the other thing. And they're constantly cutting each other down. And it's just a mess. There's so much pride oozing out of a lot of these pseudo-intellectuals. That, Dave, I just think it's just not honoring to God at all. And we have not achieved what we really ought to be achieving in education. They haven't even made it to the top of the well of knowledge. They haven't even removed the cover, Dave. They haven't seen everything they don't know. Otherwise, they would be smitten to the ground in humility.
It's a truism that a really well-educated man is aware of his ignorance. And he's got educated to the point that he knows that he doesn't know very much. Job, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and I know it's in the Old Testament, but Job had a question. It was an ethical question, as it turns out. He was wondering about why certain things were happening and right and wrong, especially it concerned God and God's providence. And God answers him in the last three chapters of Job. And God's answers is really remarkable to look at because it's a science lesson. Job has an ethical question, and God gives him a science lesson. And the science lesson basically goes like this. You don't know anything, Job. You don't know where the abode of light is. And I go to that one particular one because there's many examples about donkeys and where they mate and so forth. Where's the abode of light? We don't even know the behavior of light. Now, we have some theories. We say that the speed of light in a vacuum cannot exceed C. And we go and we take some other assumptions about our universe, and we say that light traveling from so many millions of light years away takes millions of light years to get here. But what are those assumptions? Because you start talking to really well-educated physicists who understand they don't know very much, and they say, well, we're not really sure about the geometry of space, and we're not sure how gravity affects the speed of light. We're not really sure that C is fixed. And if it's non-Euclidean space, there's one kind of Riemannian space where it takes like something like 64 years from light to get here from an infinite distance away.
I.e., we don't know beans about light.
We don't know the abode of light. And so we're just like Job. God is saying, equip yourself like a man. I'll ask the questions here, and I'll show you that what you really need here is humility.
It's time to humble yourself in the dust. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. That, my friends, is the most fundamental principle in the education of a child. And I deal with all 10 principles I can find from the Word of God on the education of a child in my book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. And I believe these principles are vital for every single parent, responsible to educate their children in the fear of God. And I've got a synopsis in my book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets, if you would like to check it out. Of course, you can just go to your Word and read the book of Proverbs, and you'll probably get there as well. So you don't need to really get my book, but if you would like my book as a help to guide you in some of your thinking, check out my book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, at our website, kevinswanson.com. You can also catch this program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.
Reformation Church is sponsoring Generations Radio because we have a passion for renewing truth and relationships in a lost and lonely world. In this nation, we find the family disintegrating, morality is on the decline, and yet church attendance remains as high as ever. Is the humanist culture impacting the church, or is the church impacting a humanist culture? At Reformation Church, we want to see the church make an impact on culture. That's why we encourage churches everywhere to bring a biblical worldview and a biblical view of ethics back to this culture. As pastors preach the Word of God, Christians everywhere should be taking Old and New Testament and applying it to politics, economics, education, art, and culture. And one more thing, we also want to see relationships renewed. Instead of fragmenting the family by the way we structure our church education and family life, let's reintegrate the family. Let's put a value on church relationships by engaging in hospitality. And let's reintegrate the family by building up relationships within the family. This is our vision at Reformation Church in Castle Rock, Colorado, and for hundreds of other churches throughout Colorado. Visit our website at www.reformationchurch.com.